grateful that you're bigger than our sin, bigger than our disappointments, bigger than our busyness, bigger than our craziness at times, God. You're bigger and you're better and you make us more than overcomers in your Son, Christ Jesus. So I thank you for victory beforehand. God, I thank you for the victory over situations, over illnesses, over sicknesses, before we even see them manifest. I thank you this morning that you are who you say and that you're a good Father who loves us and encourages us and strengthens us. So this morning, Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts and our minds so that we can receive what thus saith the Lord, our good Heavenly Father. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 24. And what I want to talk about this morning, and I almost, my memory is not the greatest at times, but I think maybe a year or so ago, maybe shorter, maybe longer, I think I've spoke about God reminding us of things. Because I know for me personally, my phone is set full of reminders. A lot of them, I was even reading a few this morning early, and I have absolutely no idea what they mean. I've did little catchphrases or little acronyms or whatever it may be, and to be honest, sometimes I don't remember what they are, and I have to ask the Lord to show me again, and sometimes, most of the time he shows me, and you know, it all works out. But this morning, yesterday morning, I was reading and kind of skipping around through the scriptures, and God showed me something that really, really made a change in my life. I was telling Brother Kevin a minute ago that I'm learning to apply it, not perfected it yet, but when God shows me something, it excites me because still to this day, you know, the God that created all this desires to speak to you. He desires to listen to you. He desires to help you. And I know those are simple thoughts, but it's something the enemy tries to steal away from us because when you and I get busy, we begin to think things, I do, especially in my mind, like, why would God care about this? Why would God care about that? Because it's hard for me to pay attention to a lot of people if I'm super busy, or it's hard for me to do this and do that and make sure this is done when I'm super, super busy. But I put God on my level and be like, God, I'm sure it's hard for you to do this or do that. And he always reminds me that he is not like us. He's greater than us and he can do it all at once. And he's that self-sufficient. He's that amazing and he's that awesome. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I believe the Lord wants to remind us that he's there for us and that he loves us and that he wants to encourage us and he wants to help us along our way. And when he reminded me of this, I was excited. So in Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, when they had come to Capernaum, this is him and his disciples, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Verse 25, he said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? So notice right here, they're going into this new town and Jesus is kicking it with his disciples. And the people are trying to, the religious leaders are trying to make Jesus fit into their mold. I know a lot of us can testify that we try to make our Lord fit into our mold. I just told you that I try to make God like me and think that when he gets busy, he gets frustrated. When he gets busy, that he's not able to do everything. When he gets busy, that he's like me and gets worried or scared or nervous or all these emotions. But notice that Jesus is not worried at all. Jesus knew the situation was going to happen way before Simon Peter ever thought that the situation could happen or even realized what was going on. So the Bible says that they come into this town And instantly these people say, hey, listen, does your master, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And Peter obviously has a big mouth, definitely like me, says, absolutely, he pays it. He speaks for Jesus without knowing what Jesus was going to do. And Jesus is so good that when Peter begins to walk into the house, the Bible says that Jesus anticipates him, meaning Jesus knows what's coming and has already got a solution for it. That's good enough of a word this morning for me. That to know that the creator of heaven and earth knows what's coming my way and he already has a solution for it. Brothers and sisters, that is good news this morning. Because yesterday, boy, I had a day. I had a day that I don't know if I've been that busy my whole life with some bank situations, changing routing numbers, and a bunch of other nonsense. And I felt like I had so much on my plate, I was truly overwhelmed. But before I broke, God sent a reminder my way. And I want to encourage you this morning to know that I believe that this is a reminder from God to you this morning, or whenever somebody hears this message, that he's bringing something back to your mind again. When we say the word remind, re means again, mind, it means that he brings something back to our mind that was already there. How many of us can testify when we first began to walk with the Lord that there was a fire on the inside of us that we knew the world could never put out? But as time and troubles and tribulations have came, that fire has went down a little bit. Well, God has good news. That fire can be restored again this morning. How many of us can testify that we used to believe God could heal cancer, God could heal this and do this until it happened to you or me? Until we were the one walking in the fire. But the same God that you believe could heal mama in them or daddy in them or brother or cousin or boss or coworker or employee, that same God that you believe can manifest healing, that same God that you believe can deliver and restore and strengthen and encourage, that is the same God that can do it for you and for me. The Bible says that when Jesus asked Peter a question, he says, well, what do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth take customs of taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Verse 26, Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. What a powerful story. What a powerful story that Jesus said, listen, I'm anticipating what you've already said. I'm anticipating the problem. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to perform a miracle. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, I've read this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But it wasn't until yesterday that I was talking with Alex and God was showing me a couple things. Maybe somebody could mute their phone. Okay, there it goes. Sorry. But it wasn't until I was talking yesterday with Alex that I began to realize what God was really showing Simon Peter. You see, a couple chapters back, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, listen, who do they say that I am? And the disciples said, listen, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. Some say you're one of the prophets. And the Bible says that Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do you guys say that I am? And the Bible declares that Simon Peter steps in and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, it's good for you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, saying, Peter, you said the right answer, but the only way that you got to that answer is that God revealed it to you. The Heavenly Father peeled back your eyes so that you could see a spiritual thing. The Heavenly Father opened up your heart so that you could receive something that will change your life forever. This morning, how many of us have had those experiences with God that we felt the fire of the Holy Spirit? That we felt the fire of the anointing? The same thing that Jeremiah said, it feels like fire shut up in my bones. We've experienced the power of God, but now in our life, it's not as powerful. Or it doesn't come as often, or we've lost track of what we were once focused on. We've allowed the busyness of the world. Yesterday, the busyness of the world was so heavy on my heart. I was talking to one of my best friends, and I said, listen, man, I just feel like crying. I feel like trouble's coming from every side. I feel like we're making headway here, but we're backing up over here. I felt like I was troubled on every side, but God in His goodness sent me a reminder. He brought something back to my mind again that when all hell was breaking loose in my life before, He came down and visited me, and that same God, that same good Father came down and visited me yesterday. And He allowed the trials and tribulations of this world not to disappear, but for me to be reminded that He's greater than that. You see, brothers and sisters, the greatest thing that God can do for us most of the time is not take away the problem. It's to show us that in Him we're greater than the problem. It's to show us that in Him we can cast that problem into the sea. In Him that we have the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead on the inside of us. Not on the inside of mama in them, not on the inside of daddy in them or brother or sister, but on the inside of you. You are that important to God. It's the greatest lie the enemy will ever try to tell us, I believe, that we are not as important as the pastor or the apostle or the prophet or the preacher, but you are. You can make more of a difference in the kingdom of God if you will allow God to remind you, allow God to once again bring something back that you already knew. You know Him as Savior. You know Him as God. You know Him as Creator. And if you know these things, then everything else pales in comparison. So before Simon Peter could go cast this hook into the sea and bring up this fish, which was no doubt a miracle, there's some things that Simon Peter had to know were true. He had to be revealed to him that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says in the next chapter that when he was hanging out with Jesus again, that they were up on a mountain, and I call it the Mountain of Transfiguration, that while they're up there, that Elijah and Moses and Jesus are up there having a conversation. Could you imagine seeing that? And I won't go too far down this rabbit hole, but I believe and I know that Jesus stepped into time. Because He's not controlled by time like you and me are. He stepped into when Elijah was alive. He stepped into time when Moses was alive. And they were up there kicking it. They were up there having a conversation. Man, I would have loved to have been there. And when the disciples see it, they're like, hey, Jesus. Simon Peter goes, he says, Jesus, should we make three tents, three tabernacles, three altars? Should we honor the three of you? And the Bible says, instantly, that a voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Bible says that the disciples fell to the ground and Jesus came over there because they were scared and nervous and worried. And he said, listen, lift up your head. And when the disciples lifted up their head, there was only Jesus before them. I believe it was God's way of reminding them, listen, it's cool what you're seeing. It's cool, the miracle, what you're seeing, but don't ever build an altar to anybody but me and my Son. I believe it was the reason that Jesus in His goodness, notice He didn't beat them down for wanting to make three altars or temples. He didn't condemn them for wanting to build a tent to honor all three people. He didn't say, listen, do you not remember what just happened earlier that God revealed something to you? No, He went to them when they were scared, when they were scared little children. And He said, listen, lift up your eyes. Look that it's only me. I want to remind you of what happened earlier. Brothers and sisters, I know the world is throwing everything it can at us. I see things that a lot of people are calling the mark of the beast, or I see things going bad financially for the economies, and all heck is breaking loose politically, and the world is in a whirlwind. Everything that is going wrong, and it's overwhelming. I know me and Alex have talked about before, listen, if we watch too much of the news, it will move our faith. It will make us nervous, or I'll speak for me, it'll have me focus on something but Him. But as long as I'm focused on Jesus, then everything else has to pale in comparison. Because Jesus allowed Simon Peter to be reminded of who He was. And then when Simon Peter made a mistake and said, listen, let's build three tents to you guys to honor the three, because no doubt it was a miracle, Jesus again allowed Simon Peter to be reminded that I'm the one you should be focusing on. And then before one of the greatest miracles that I love in the Bible, one of the greatest things that I love to read about when Peter goes fishing for Jesus, He allowed him to be built up to a point so that he could experience what God had for him. Because when the Bible says that Jesus said, listen, I know what you're going to say, Simon Peter, but I want you to go down and I want you to cast a hook in the lake. And the first fish that you bring up, I want you to open its mouth and I want you to take out the token. Can we take a second in closing this morning to think about how weird that had to sound to Peter? Because don't forget, Peter was a fisherman. Peter was successful at what he was doing. Peter had done it his way for no doubt years and got results. You know, it's one thing when you do something and you're not getting any results, but it's another when you're good at what you do. Could you imagine when Jesus said, listen, I want you to go down and go fishing. No doubt Peter would have been excited. Man, I got this. I know how to do this. I've been like Peter before and said, God, I've got it this time. I know how to make this happen or make that happen. I know a lot of us can testify to that. But instantly Jesus said, listen, take the bare hook and cast it in the lake. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, you forgot an important step. Lord, I know you're Lord, and I know I've been reminded these past few times that you're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. You're the prophet. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's been talked about for hundreds and hundreds of years. But Lord, you forgot to tell me to put on the bait. Or maybe, Lord, you knew that I knew to put on the bait, so you're trusting me to go do something for you. I know a lot of times for me personally, I'll be like, okay, God, you want me to do this? So you're trusting me to do it my way. But Jesus said, listen, when you go down there, I want you to cast the hook in there with absolutely no bait on it. How many of us today can testify that we're pretty good at certain things in our lives? We know how to get results. We know how to make things happen. We know how to provide for our family. We know how to take care of our wives or our husbands or our kids. But when God asks us to do something, or God tells us to do something, and it's different than the way that we're used to doing it, all of a sudden fear hits me. All of a sudden pride hits me. God, I can do it and I'll come back with this fish is no doubt probably what I would have said to the Lord. We're used to doing something our way and we're good at it. So we build up a sense of pride, or we build up a sense of accomplishment even. But when Jesus told him to go cast that hook in, the reason I believe loudmouth Simon Peter, the one that speaks up before everybody, the one that's louder than everybody, the one that thinks that his way is better than everybody else's way, the one that I think should argue with Jesus more than anybody, takes that hook, and the Bible says that he cast it into the lake and pulls up that fish and takes the coin out of the fish's mouth and goes and does exactly what Jesus told him to do. How was Peter able to be successful at doing something a different way than he's always done it? How was Peter able to have a mindset, able to have an attitude that was positive and that looked at it like, okay, God, I know how to do it, but your way is better than my way. How did Peter accomplish that miracle without any arguing with Jesus? The answer is he was reminded. He already knew. He already knew because he was reminded earlier on when he tried to make the tent to the three men. He was reminded when God revealed to him that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He was reminded. It was brought back to his mind again when he understood that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because Peter so many times was reminded about the goodness, about the nature of God, when he told him to do something a different way to get the same result. Catch that. He told him to do it different, but the result of catching the fish was still going to be the same. Now keep in mind, after Jesus has died and buried, the disciples weren't going around preaching. They went back fishing. They went back to the same thing that they knew how to get results from. They knew what they were doing when they were in the boat doing it their way. But Simon Peter goes and performs this miracle for Jesus without any arguing because of his mindset. Because what was in the forefront of his mind was those times I believe God had reminded him of who he was talking to. No doubt Peter probably thought, this is crazy. That's okay. No doubt Peter thought, man, there's a better way to do this, Lord, but that's okay. No doubt Peter thought that there was a better way to do it, but that's okay. Because if Jesus, if God attaches a word to anything for you and me, brothers and sisters, if God will speak a word over the situation, then it has to come to pass. The situation doesn't have any control when the master of the universe speaks. So brothers and sisters, this morning, if you can get God to speak a word over you, if you can get God to speak a word over healing over your family members, then you and me are not responsible to make that thing happen. We just got to cast the hook. We cast the hook and we get the ability and the enjoyment of having an experience that we get to be the one to take it out of the fish's mouth. Jesus could have made that coin appear in Peter's pocket on his way. But he wanted Peter to experience doing something a different way so he could get a different kind of miracle. I challenge us this morning. When the Lord's showing us what to do in our business or what to do in our marriages or what to do with our children, so what? It looks different. I want my kids to be able to shoot a jump shot or hit a ball or throw a ball or do 10 flips. Those things are cool, man. I love sports. I absolutely love it. But several days ago, maybe even a couple weeks ago, somebody sent Alex a picture. And in children's church, our son Joshua had both hands raised, giving all praise and glory to God. His sign of surrender, his sign of worship, his sign of praise will mean more to me and does mean more to me than any baseball or basketball he'll ever shoot. And I believe God is sending us a message today saying, listen, be reminded of who I am. Because when we look at him, everything else has to pale in comparison. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning that I know that in each one of our situations, that you, in your goodness and power and grace and mercy, in your love that you have for all my brothers and sisters and for me, that God, however you're reminding us this morning of the time that we felt when we first knew you or a powerful experience, God, I thank you that all of us this morning can testify that, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because Peter made that declaration, God, we declare it this morning that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I declare goodness over my brothers and sisters. I declare healing and wholeness, God. I declare prosperity and peace and joy, God, and power in the Holy Ghost. We honor you this morning, and I thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. But I thank you that our greatest days are ahead. Whether we're 5 years old or 80 or 90 years old, God, I thank you that our greatest days are ahead. I speak that over us, God, and I thank you that even though when we mess up, you're always right there to tell us to fear not, and to focus on you. By faith, Lord, we consider these things done, giving you the glory for a word, giving you all praise because it belongs to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.